And that's because we have seen markets unnerved by Cyprus and a widespread understanding that regulators are preparing both in Europe and in North America to proceed with a change from the too big to fail policy to resolving banks, including large banks, without too big to fail, which means creditors and uninsured depositors could lose their money. And that's going to be a very big change. And of course, it's a change that can impact the fixed income markets. And that's part of what we're going to be talking tonight. But the insecurities were increased by big drops in the precious metals market. We've had a long and painful consolidation. Many precious metal investors were hoping to sort of retrend up in the primary trend. And instead, we got price drops on Friday and Monday, which again are symptoms of a deeper and some very important risk issues. My famous last words, we were talking with Franklin Sanders last Thursday night on the Solera report, and I said it was interesting that the market had not dropped on Thursday following Goldman Sachs' advice that significant drops should be expected and advising their clients to short. Well, famous last words on Friday, the gold dropped $30 and then sank $140 on Monday to $1,395, a price we haven't seen since first quarter 2010. And then silver held steady on Friday and then nosedived on Monday to $2,354, a price level we haven't seen since fourth quarter 2010. There's been tremendous speculation as to whether or not this was a managed move or a market move. The reality is there's no way to tell. There are arguments for both. We see in the market a slowing in the global economy. One of the announcements on Thursday was a weaker growth report, growth in China slowing, of course, China being a big investor in precious metals. Also, another announcement on Thursday that the Cyprus is going to have to pony up more for its bailout, including an indication that Cyprus would be required to sell their gold reserves. That's a lot of gold coming onto the market quickly if it were to happen. There's another reason, and that is when you break through a trend line in 1520, 1530 was sort of a line in the sand for many investors. You get a spiral down beneath that to the next support levels. And so, if for whatever reason, whether market or managed market, you break through that trend line, you can expect further drops. The reports, there have been many and conflicting reports from the physical markets, both the institutional and the retail. And sort of the nature of them and the contradictions really just underscores investors feeling like they're dealing with a puzzle palace. To argue on a managed move, we see, and I think the most important thing, which says to me the deeper story behind these issues, that bank resolutions are coming, whether in Europe or North America, that Cyprus was just the warning bell, and uninsured depositors and the fixed income markets are getting prepared for that eventuality impact as well on money markets. And so in 2008, when many, many investors were concerned about risk assets, whether commodities or stocks, you could go to fixed income, you could go to cash. Well, you know, cash is not necessarily looking as attractive as it used to, neither is fixed income. In that environment, the G7 managers would be well served by a reset in precious metals prices. So one can argue that there was a compelling reason to do a reset. Does it change the primary trend? Of course, for many investors, that's the important question. In my opinion, no change on the primary trend. I said last Thursday night, I thought the chances were 80% it would reassert. It's very important to understand, though, that even if the primary trend holds, and it can, there's nothing to indicate in the charts that it can't, the price can go lower from here before it does. So if you're a precious metals investor, you need to appreciate that the price can still go lower, and that if the primary trend does not reassert, it can go lower still. The other thing that we'll talk a little bit with Chuck tonight is that we've seen a real divergence between the commodities markets and the stock markets over the last year. The question, of course, is can that continue? So most important question is what asset class is safe? Cash are not so attractive, bonds not so attractive, stocks look awful frothy, and I think one of the reasons I say financial DEFCON 4 is you're feeling the sense of risk issues across the board. Monday was made you know, sort of dreadful for many people by several things, not just the drops in the precious metals market, stock markets down that day too, but it was tax time, April 15th. And of course, we had the bombing of the Boston Marathon. One subscriber wrote in and said that they were watching on TV the mayor of Boston at a press conference, who was asked the question live on TV, is this another false flag to take away our civil liberties? They panned away very quickly after the mayor of Boston said no. There were conflicting reports of communication services being shut down in Boston, which is one of the largest money management centers in the world. So if that was the case, it was no doubt quite frustrating for those who were having to deal with what was also going on in the markets. On the good news front, the Senate has defeated both the Democrat and some of the Republican proposals on gun control and gun ownership. The completeness and severity of the administration's political defeat on this one tells me that they really don't understand the politics on the ground. It's almost like there's no James Carville to translate. Clearly, I believe they made big promises to the investors and the backers in the campaign. And so this is a pretty significant defeat because they've thrown a lot into it. One of the great quotes from Iowa Senator Charles Grassley today said, criminals do not submit to background checks now. They will not submit to extended and expanded background checks. And we agree. I think if I was to describe the feeling on the ground that is so strong at the grassroots behind this defeat in the Senate, it's that what has been lost in the financial coup d'etat has been lost, but the government's credibility has also been lost. What that means is, as we look to a new round of sort of re-engineering of the land, of real estate privatization, of infrastructure, I would note that the president's budget is proposing to privatize the TVA. It's just a taste of what's to come. I think many Americans feel that if they are stripped of gun ownership, Lord only knows what could happen. And that includes the reengineering of the $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities. It's a major political negotiation. And finally, drug gangs are still in place, and they include the ones that, according to Department of Justice whistleblowers, have been armed by the Department of Justice. So this is an opposition which is very deep and very strong. The defeat does not surprise me, but I'm glad to see it. To add insult to injury this week, as Americans were lining up to pay taxes and watching the headlines from Boston and dealing with the meltdown in the markets, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, a group of banks announced bank profits up. And so, after too big to fail, it's very painful. On the not so wonderful news, CISPA passed Congress. It moves to the Senate. That's for more centralized control of the internet. It's a very unfortunate development. Let's see if the political opposition can have anything to do with slowing it down in the Senate or getting the president to veto.